Tonight's eviction night recap of Big Brother 22 is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think you may be depressed or feeling anxious, stressed, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. You could talk with your counselor in a private online environment at your own convenience from wherever you're comfortable. BetterHelp counselors have expertise in a broad range of areas, including anxiety, depression, difficulty sleeping, trauma, anger, self-esteem, and so much more. BetterHelp can give you access to help that may not be available in your area. Of course, right now it is very difficult to set up appointments and meetings of any kind. That's where BetterHelp comes in, where you can be matched up with a professional. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. Everything you share is confidential. And if for any reason you're unhappy with the counselor you get matched up with, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the over 1 million plus people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. So 10% off when you use the promo code RHAP. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to share a socially distanced margarita from 6 feet away with you here tonight as we recap the latest eviction at the start of a crazy neighbor week here on Big Brother 22. A lot to unpack, a lot of news dropped on us at the end of this episode, including the revelation of who the neighbor is. It's Dr. Will Kirby, plus a triple eviction is waiting in the wings 1 week from tonight. Here to break everything down from also Davon going home is a man who got a quick respite from covering the live feeds for a good 24 hours or so. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I can't tell you, Rob. I really, really wish I could, but I just can't. When the time is right, I'll let you know. I promise.
Okay. When will that time be right?
Probably when one of the chatters breaks into the call and yells something, but we'll see.
It's a good thing we don't have to deal with that. That would be, we're not ready to talk about that yet. Okay. All right. That's kind of happens at the live shows where people just like, we'll be talking about something and then people just start shouting things like, please, please, come on. We're not there yet. Okay. All right. Excited to have back with us here tonight. We'll see if she has somebody to root for yet. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. That was a very exciting episode. You definitely stole my little opening joke because I was absolutely going to mention the margarita thing. I was like, that's
we'll come
cute.
Back
I literally
to it.
I said to myself after she said it, like, I was like, that's cute. And then I was like, wait, why am I talking to myself while watching this episode? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
I want a margarita.
Okay. All right. We'll all have a socially distanced one later. All right. Melissa, good to have you back. And then back with us, the great Matt Scott. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. In the words of Davon Rogers, I love this game. I love being black. I meditated. I'm okay, despite the events of today, and I'm excited to talk with you all.
Okay. All right. Margarita for you too, Matt?
Oh, please. A few.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. What was in Dr. Will's coffee cup? I guess we'll find out eventually. All right. So we are going to take your questions here tonight. Posted a tweet earlier in the evening. We'll also send some questions out to Davon, and we will get her answers back from her. Post that in the podcast feed as well. We will get recorded answers to our questions that we will send to Davon, and I ended up posting that as a podcast with Ian. I will do the same with our answers from Davon for tomorrow. Okay, of course, live feed update tomorrow morning. Taryn, will we have an HOH by then?
I would imagine so. It's probably happening right now. So, you know, okay. I would hope so.
All right, good. So people aren't missing anything if the feeds are down again, and they got us used to it yesterday. Of course, just to bring everything in from yesterday, the feeds were down for 24 hours. We talked about it on the recap last night. They came back on last night. Taryn, did we ultimately get the answer to, well, why were the feeds down for so long yesterday?
So there was a wall yeller, and the wall yeller yelled something that that set the house off for a little bit. And then they came back, and then they continued to cut feeds whenever anybody talked about it. But it was definitely the wall yeller.
Yeah. So why did the feeds have to be cut? Were we being punished?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I believe so.
All right. So, unfortunately, that's what happened. And then my big question coming into this episode tonight, we got the revelation from Nicole told Davon in her goodbye messages about the big lie. And do we have reason to suspect that Davon may have already known?
Yes, that was the wall yeller exposed that Nicole voted to evict Ian. In the time that the feeds were down, Davon, I believe, confronted Nicole about it. She apologized to David. All of that stuff. We missed it all. It, based on what they portrayed to us tonight, it appears that what they're going to do is just pretend none of that happened. That all of that footage will be lost to the ether, and we are just going to move forward pretending that Davon found out in the goodbye message.
Okay, Matt, how do we think that Davon took this?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting, and because knowing that she knew, I thought it was interesting that after everything, she was still bothered. It's personal for her. And I think the conversation, I'm not going to get into the personal game conversation. I might exhaust myself and run out of breath with that one. But not great in short.
Yeah.
Not great. Yeah.
Yeah. Melissa, this was, you know, a night where Davon knew she was coming out of the house. And, you know, I really was wondering with it, would Davon be able to top her last time walking out of the house, which became such a big social media gif, which was used so many times still to this day. But, yeah, I thought she very, very quietly came out of the house. Didn't try to recreate it.
I was surprised there wasn't more of like a gifable moment in there, but maybe she was thrown off by the whole Nicole hair thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
that was kind of like, they kept cutting out the audio. So I was like, what's going on? Is she angry with Nicole? Is Nicole like saying something to her? Like what's happening? But it doesn't seem like there was any hard feelings in the house. I mean, who knows what's going to happen outside now, but like, it just seemed like a normal goodbye.
Yeah, Matt, how about that where Nicole ends up getting caught on Davon's earring on the way out the door?
Nicole Franzel did that on purpose. She was trying to
throw
rip
her off.
Davon's wig off, and it was just a lot, and I was worried. Would have been a great moment, but we didn't get that, and I think it kind of threw Day off, so we got a pretty normal...
Girl, okay, I'm so dumb. Wait.
And then they just cut the audio, get out of this.
Yeah, that was a close call.
It's so awkward because it's like Nicole already feels like horrible and like, it's like, how can I make this right? Like, what an awkward goodbye. And then it's like, it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Nicole knocked over a vase in the house and she's like, oh no. And she's like, it's broken, but she's like trying to just kind of like carefully put it back. But as she does that, she knocks over the whole pillar and then like everything tumbles and she's, oh no. And it's just so, it's just such a perfect representation of Nicole and Davon's relationship because Nicole did not set out to screw Davon over. She just can't help herself in any situation, including giving her a goodbye hug.
Let's talk about Davon's message that she got from Nicole, and I'd like to get reactions to that because this was, you know, a big part of the episode. Here was Nicole's message to Davon.
Davon, I'm in an alliance with 5 other people since day 2, and I got caught in the middle of this lie where I had to vote Ian out of the house. I'm so sorry, Davon. I just really hope you'll give me a chance outside this house to be friends, because I really love you as a person.
Yeah.
Huh.
But the Taryn, the original sin here is that she makes it sound like she got caught in this lie where she couldn't. She was stuck between the two sides. Like, wasn't the original sin? The original lie was, oh, I don't want Ian to be mad at me, and I want to frame the other people. Like, it wasn't like that. They told her she couldn't. She had to lie about this.
Yes, well, so part of the explanation is, because I'm in this alliance, I couldn't vote to keep Ian because the alliance wanted Ian out, and I couldn't vote, I couldn't publicly vote to evict Ian because that would expose the alliance. That's kind of like the game explanation side of things, when we saw that, like, a lot of it had to do with just wanting to save face with, you know, Ian in the audience. But the game part of it was a big reason why a lot of the other members of the committee were really pushing her to do this. So she's really falling back on that end of things.
Okay. All right. Well, so do you think that Davon will talk to Nicole again outside the house? Liz is going to think about that. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I really hope not. You know, I think it's tough to watch someone getting lied to repeatedly or being scammed repeatedly. I don't know if Day's up for that again. It's probably going to happen again. What I would appreciate from Day after this is not going with Nicole's drive to be her friend, which I don't understand why Nicole would want to be her friend. I think Nicole would say, okay, I've done enough damage. I'll back away slowly, and we'll pretend like none of this ever happened.
Yeah,
Rob, I want to send Davon some advice for the future. When she gets out of the house, she gets out of the jury house, she comes back home, she turns on All of Rob Has a Podcast, and she listens to this podcast. Davon, burn the $5,000 that Nicole gave you. It's
cursed?
Not worth it. It's not worth it. It's going to ruin you. You need to get rid of it ASAP.
Mm-hmm. You said it.
Yeah. Really, Davon should really tell Nicole, I wish I never met you.
No.
Really, it's been nothing but misery.
Nothing but bad.
Ever since I met you. Really, Nicole.
Oh,
how
man.
You say that? Okay. All right, let's talk about something that's a little bit more fun. Melissa, we got to find out the neighbor, and it wasn't the Zingbot.
Yeah, I think, like, after we realized Zingbot was going to be on Wednesday, like, that wouldn't be the surprise on Thursday to have Zingbot come again. It's like, yeah, we already know.
But it was
here.
A real Big Brother legend. It wasn't.
It was a real Zingbot.
The Big Brother legend. Yeah.
Right.
Honestly, I thought that was what was going to happen. Because when Julie was saying, like, even recent watchers will know this person, Dr. Will's been hosting the jury roundtable all the recent seasons, so that would make sense that she would say that. I just wish I had said it on a podcast so I can prove I really thought that. But, you know, I'm excited about it. I think it's fun. I think that Dr. Will is, obviously he's one of my favorite Big Brothers of all players of all time. So it's always good to see him back. I'm interested to see, you know, what exactly this means. Like, does it mean there's going to be, I love the idea. Because I feel like we already have people who are thinking, like, I'm safe, I don't need to compete every week this season. And it's going to be nice to, like, maybe if they have to choose between being HOH or winning a prize, that a lot of those people will just go win a prize. And we can just, like, have the competition be between people who actually, like, feel like they need it. So I feel like that'll be good. And maybe it'll kind of, like, open up the door for some people, like, Kevin or David or, you know, someone like that who maybe wouldn't have been able to win otherwise.
Ma'am. Give us your reaction.
I was just gonna say, there's the whole meta. Well, I had a lot of reactions. The first being that there's the meta aspect of it, which is like, do I play an HOH for HOH because I need it, or do I not play so people don't think that I feel threatened? And so I think that's going to be interesting. But honestly, the thing that got me most about that segment was the fact that Dr. Will was in a robe. I love I'll admit, I own a robe. I love a robe as much as the next person. Yes. I'm not wearing it right now. I am wearing clothes. Dr. Will wasn't, and I was just distracted by that. I don't know if anyone else is in the same boat.
I did find it disconcerting, and I was worried that Matt, I kept thinking that maybe Dr. Will could have a wardrobe malfunction. I thought that we were coming like dangerously close.
It's like, let's hope we're not that live. Let's hope we're not that live.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Taryn, all right. I know famously you're anti-twists. You do not like them in the game, but do you like a twist that involves Dr. Will coming into an area high above the Big Brother house?
Yeah, Big Brother really, they really did a feint on me tonight where I was like, I was so prepared to be disappointed with the twist and the guest, the neighbor, that it was Dr. Will. And he was like, the twist is there's going to be prizes in the competitions. And I was like, this is way better than I thought. Mm-hmm. This is actually pretty. And a triple eviction.
Oh. Yeah, I was like,
All right, well, let's talk about the triple eviction separate from this. Okay, but okay, so Taryn, do you feel like a HOH, which is going to be let some people go for prizes, let some people go for HOH, is this a good time for that in this game?
I think there's always a good time for that in the game. Why not add weird little twists to competitions, especially if they're Dr. Will themed, because he famously took all the prizes when Danielle Reyes was trying to get Janelle out of the game. And so it's a great tie-in. I love the concept. I think it's going to be fun.
How frustrating will it be, Melissa, when Kevin and David opt for prizes and Cody is the HOH?
They deserve what they get. Yes. I mean, honestly, like if they don't care enough to win HOH at this point in time, they're probably going to lose anyway.
Might as well get a prize.
Hey, no, you've got to just go all out and compete. I mean, because if you just go for a prize, like it honestly, it makes me think that you don't care. And that it doesn't make me want to root for you. So, you know, they better not go for prizes. Oh, my God.
Matt, how much do you think that Dr. Will is going to be in play here? Do you think that he will just come out for competitions? Will he be like sitting up in the balcony heckling people all week?
My theory is that they've probably recorded all the segments of him. He's probably in the robe the whole time. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him because I'm assuming they wanted more and more of the near wardrobe malfunctions happening with him just to keep everyone tuned in. So I think we'll see a lot of him. He's Dr. Will. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'll see a lot of him.
Tara, what do you think? He's like sequestered at the compound now?
No. No,
he's on Julie's shift that he's coming in and out.
Right. I think one of two things, either what Matt said is like that he just recorded, spent an hour at the studio recording a bunch of different segments that they're going to air throughout the week. Mm-hmm. Or I think at most he dropped by, during the day Thursday, recorded tonight's thing, and then he'll show up again on Saturday for the veto competition to host it, and then he'll bounce out, and he'll have recorded plenty of stuff for the rest of the week.
They did say, Melissa, right, that on Thursday the neighbor twist will end.
I don't remember them saying that, but I would assume it ends.
Right.
I was too busy thinking about like a triple. What's going on?
Yeah. I think what Dr. Will said was that like this week, there's going to be prizes, and that's the twist. So I think it's just going to be for this week.
Okay. Then Taryn, we have OTEV coming up for the veto competition.
So much information at us. Like literally I'm like, there's just like, I mean, this next week is going to be insane. At least Wednesday is.
So if it's OTEV, maybe it's just voiced by Dr. Will, and they've already recorded the lines.
Maybe. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's probably what it is.
All right.
He's their big brother neighbor.
OTEV. I miss OTEV. I'll miss him.
All right. Let's talk about this triple eviction. Matt, when you first heard about this triple eviction, what was your reaction?
Honestly, I was like, okay, we're gonna get this over with. We're gonna knock a few people out. It's maybe this won't be a bad thing. I think it'll probably be a bad thing, but I'm supposed to be the optimistic one, so let's hope that it's not gonna be a bad thing.
Taryn, do you suspect that the triple eviction will be a Big Brother Canada style triple eviction, or this will be a new twist on the triple eviction?
Yeah, so in Big Brother Canada, how the triple eviction works is that one person wins an HOH and they nominate three people, and the rest of the house votes for one person to save, and then the two others that don't get the most amount of save votes end up being evicted. It's a terrible twist because it gives one person way too much power, and it tends to pretty much end the season on the spot. And it also terrifies future house guests so much that they're unwilling to make moves prior to the triple eviction because the triple eviction is so dangerous that they need to be as insulated as possible for the upcoming triple eviction. So it tends to ruin seasons a couple of years after the fact, after it happens. Now, what I'm hoping is that Big Brother US, it's going to be a 2-hour episode,
yes,
which potentially indicates that they may be going for something slightly better, which is essentially just a double-double, where we're going to get a full HOH veto nomination cycle, and then another full cycle right after. So 2 hours, two cycles of evictions. And that wouldn't be as bad because it doesn't give one person all that power. But it still definitely has the possibility of really just like, you know, if there is building tension within the committee, just kind of like, oh, we're good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a bad twist overall, but it can make for exciting television on one night. It's just kind of like what have you sacrificed to give us this one night of television?
Now, yeah. Melissa, I agree with what Taryn is saying, that it's probably going to be that, but the one thing that does give me pause is that sounds like a lot of competitions all in one night. And we are working with a skeleton crew here because of the restrictions with COVID. How could potentially, unless we have like, okay, we're going to do one competition in the kitchen, we're going to do one competition, how will we reset for multiple competitions all in the span of 2 hours?
I mean, it could be like some sort of questions, like they just do, and even maybe it's a situation where they do questions on about one thing, like one image that they show, and then okay, the next HOH is questions about a different image, and then like they basically like kind of recycle the competitions for veto and HOH. Like that's a possibility. I'm hoping that that's the case. I mean, all along we've been saying for Big Brother Canada that they should change the triple eviction to a double-double. We've been saying that all along because it makes more sense. It doesn't give so much power. Like,
and they listen to us?
Of course not.
No.
But maybe the U.S. is listening. Maybe they're saying, like the idea of the triple eviction, but like, let's modify it because it doesn't quite work. I don't know.
So my understanding of Big Brother U.S. production is that they had thought about doing a triple, prior to Big Brother Canada doing it. But then once Big Brother Canada did it, they were like, we can't copy Big Brother Canada. So that implies to me that since they are going through with the triple now, that they will want to put their own kind of
take back the triple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Taryn, I do see people in the chat saying like, Rob, they have the basement. They could do it they could just put them in the basement.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not wrong. You were acting like they were saying something crazy, and then I was waiting for the crazy thing.
But people are implying that there actually is a basement in the Big Brother house. It's like the Alamo. There's no basement in the Big Brother house.
They'd have to transport them.
Are you going to move people around during the live show to another set?
Yeah, make that its own competition. Just jogging on the CBS studio lot. We'll see what happens.
I think what they could do is have like HOH and Vito split the backyard into two sets. HOH and Vito for one thing, and then once they finish that cycle, the next HOH is in the basement, and then maybe while that's happening, they clear out the backyard and make the final Vito competition or whatever it is. Because they have that extra room, they might be able to get away with this somehow, or maybe even split the basement into two and then do it that way. But I think it's possible. I think again, 2 hours I think gives me a little bit of hope, because filling a whole regular eviction just with three people into 2 hours, I don't know where they fill that time.
Also, I would like to bring up the fact that historically, triple evictions are bad for, first of all, like LGBTQ people in Canada, and also Kevin's.
Okay.
Is
there a particular reason, or this is just superstition?
Historically, okay. Historically, it has been bad for Kevin's
and good for Kevin's.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad for Kevin once.
He'll break
the curse. Wasn't as bad the next time.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but I'm just saying that we have to. I mean, if Kevin goes, it's just precedent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
Kevin's
got
to survive this week first before he gets to the triple eviction. But Matt, I actually think that timing wise, this could be good, because that either we are going to potentially get some sort of a crack into the big alliance, or we will yada yada the rest of Kevin and David being in the game. Like at least one way or the other.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. And there are a few between Kevin and David and some other folks that might be at risk here. I'm just, it's a lot to take seeing them picked off each week. And
yes.
So that's a key reason I really don't mind seeing them picked off on one day. It's a lot to handle, but we could, have our margaritas and it'll be a lot better.
We have been saying that, okay, this is getting really dull. We're kind of just we already know the outcome of the week. Once the week starts, it's either going to be Davon, Kevin, or David, each week. So it is possibly a good thing. I mean, so either we get a situation where the committee turns on itself and we get some exciting, crazy thing happening, or we kind of just, speed up the inevitable.
That's
and
what
just,
I'm
like,
saying. Win-win.
It could just be a win-win either way.
Exactly.
I think more likely we're going to lose somebody like Kevin this week. And then everybody's ready to make the move. They're expecting a double. They get a double-double. And they get to take out Danny and Nicole back-to-back, or Danny and Tyler back-to-back. And now they've been able to completely neutralize all of the building tension. And we get no Danny blow-ups. We get no Danny versus Cody about, why are you betraying me? I loved you. I mean, was loyal to you.
I loved you.
And so, I think we might end up missing a lot here. It reminds me a lot of the, level six in Big Brother 20 when Brett and the rest of level six were about to go head to head, and it turned into, we're two steps ahead, bro. Was the culmination of this, upcoming civil war. And it's just this could be bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how about this, Taryn? That is the stage set potentially for the underdogs to really go on a run. It's Thursday, and we try to look at the silver lining on Thursday. Okay, we still don't even know who the HOH is at this point. We have an HOH which at least could distract some of the people from going after it. A lot of people thinking that they're safe, probably the Enzos of the world, might be more interested in prizes than winning the HOH right now. Maybe could open the door for David and Kevin to survive this week. And then once we get to the double-double, people are taking big shots. Maybe don't want to go for David and Kevin. Maybe they're sitting up on the block in one or both of those, but maybe a backdoor gets used and people go for a big target.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, you know, I think there's a possibility we get something exciting. You know, these triple evictions have been exciting episodes in Big Brother Canada. It's just like, even if we do get a big move, we don't get the fallout. We don't get the ramifications of turning on the person you've been in an alliance with for 50 days. And it sucks some of that excitement out of it. Especially because this is inevitable. It's not like a double's coming up. This is not like Big Brother Canada 5, the double eviction, where it's like a move is made out of nowhere. It's like, what? It's like, oh, well, no, we were going to get this anyway. We were just going to actually finally get to see these people fight with each other. And now it's just kind of over before it started.
Okay.
Right. And especially because I think another element of it is the campaigning and like what happens when you put them on the block. At this point, it's like they get put on the block and then you have like 5 minutes to then go like vote. And there isn't really that time where things can be said or things can be revealed, which might change people's minds about people or things or whatever. And instead, it's just kind of like, okay, quick, get out of the house. Now you're not revealing any of my secrets, any of my strategy. Like, there's no issue here. And like Taryn said, like, even though at the time you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. I can't believe like she's getting her out or whatever. By the time next week rolls around, it's like, oh, okay. Well, like any sort of like insurgence, like any sort of like drama that could have been had by someone turning on someone else is just over.
Look, I'm not going to be greedy. Okay. Either there's something good is going to happen that we're going to be happy about, or Kevin and David go, we save a week of Kevin and David on the block.
Either way, we're
don't
winners,
be too
really.
Negative about this. We're going to get something. At worst case scenario, it's 2 hours that are exciting. Okay. But now let me give you the other part of this, though, Taryn. Is this setting the stage up for a buyback? Are we knocking out three people on Thursday only so that somebody comes back in?
It's possible, but I really, really don't think so. I think that they were trying to schedule it out, and they're expecting two double evictions. I think we're just getting both in one night, and then we're not going to get like a sped up eviction or anything like that. The just bringing somebody back into the house just doesn't really mesh with the sort of like they're in a bubble, wear your mask when you come out, and also they've been revealing a lot of information to the house guests upon eviction. They usually sort of censor those goodbye messages if they have a chance to come back.
Okay. All right. Matt, do you think it's possible? Could we have the people, maybe the people that are in the triple eviction could potentially come back?
Rob, we could only hope.
You want that?
I would love, I mean, it would be fun. It would be interesting to throw another wrinkle in. It's a lot of people leaving one night. So it would be interesting to see what happens when someone's thrown back in. I think the thing I'm less hopeful about is, you know, who's going to be voted out and who'd come back in. I don't think it'd be fun to see Kevin or David voted out and then come back in. But maybe if someone's blindsided or backdoored, you know, it'd be great to see someone who's really pissed about what just happened step back into the house. So again, we could only hope, but I'm a little nervous about the types of competitions that they'll be competing in during the triple eviction looks like. You're thinking about some of the ones in the past. I mean, a lot of them might favor someone like Cody if it's jumping into a ball pit, jumping out, running across the backyard. And so not necessarily too hopeful, but maybe Big Brother will surprise us.
Taryn, I'm just crunching the numbers real quick. So there's 9 people left. At the end of next Thursday night, there'll be 6 people left, and we still have the night of the 8th, the night of the 15th, which would get us down to 4, the night of the 22nd, which gets us down to 3. If the finale is the 28th, I feel like that we're short a person.
Well, yes, like I said, like, so normally they would do a sped up eviction for like the final five. But they may not want to do that, and instead have that sort of like double effect, here, because they're really going to push everything into this triple and then maybe not have a sped up week at the final five or whatever. It's certainly possible. Maybe they start, a buyback at, as you said, at the triple, maybe there's, you know, maybe it's 3 hours or maybe it's 2 hours because they evict two people. And then there's one final competition where they compete to see who actually doesn't leave the house. And it really is only a double, or something like that. But I would very highly doubt that the two people that have left so far, Ian and Davon, I very much doubt that they are going to have a chance to come back.
All right, we still got a lot to do on tonight's recap, talking about everything from the eviction. But I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, new sponsor for the podcast. Those are our friends over at Features. And Features is making socks that you wouldn't believe. FEETURES, Features. And they're making socks that are so great. They've got a lifetime guarantee. We talked about it on the podcast on Wednesday night about how important I take my socks and wearing my shoes, and I don't want any old sock. That's not going to work. Features, they've solely focused on engineering innovative high-performance socks for almost 20 years. They created a sock with custom-like fit to prevent the issues that you have with conventional socks. You know, I love having socks, but I put them through the washing machine. They don't hold up so great. Not Features. No more bunching, slipping, friction, and forget about the blisters. If I go back on Survivor, I'm wearing these multiple cushion levels from ultralight to max cushioning for unsurpassed performance. The best thing about Features is that they've got a lifetime guarantee. I'll be watching Nicole Franzel play Big Brother fifth time, sixth time, seventh time, and my Features socks, if there's any problem, they're going to replace them. Features are engineered to help you achieve your best every day, whether you're working out or if you're on the go. They've got targeted compression that acts like a hug around the arch of your foot, keeping your sock in place and preventing it from moving around. With an anatomical design that conforms to the left and right shape of the foot, it creates a custom-like fit that keeps it in place so you can focus on your workout, work out harder, recover faster, get stronger, and look great doing it. Plus, they've got a lifetime guarantee. So they are so durable and so long-lasting. If you're unsatisfied at any point, they'll give you a replacement pair. No questions asked. It's a family-owned company. CY Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. For listeners of Rob as a Podcast, you can get $10 off your first pair of Features by going to features.com. Use the promo code RHAP. That's $10 off your first pair when you go to FEETURES.com. Enter promo code RHAP at checkout. Again, that's features.com. Use promo code RHAP to get $10 off your first pair of Features. Let's get back to talking about Thursday night's episode of Big Brother. Let's circle back to this episode where we got to see a little bit about Davon and how she was feeling heading into this week or heading into the eviction. A lot of talk about old girl tonight, Matt. That really, I think after tonight, I think Christmas has gone through a rebranding.
Yeah, we'll take it. I think anything that Christmas is being called that's not her name works for me, because I noticed this episode we didn't get a lot of Christmas sound effects. It's still a little bit too early for that, and so I'm glad that we're rebranding her, and maybe we'll get some different sound effects, like a walker, or you know,
she kind of had that in her last season.
Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah,
we'll take it this time.
Melissa, will old girl stick?
Probably not. I don't think so. Maybe just with Davon, but I can't imagine any of the other house guests just start calling her that. So
yeah. Maybe, I feel like it might be a cis kind of, just saying that name kind of bothered me, a little bit, but it might be a cis kind of thing. And so expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
I mean, I preferred Thickums.
Davon, I mean, the nicknames.
Yeah. On the downside, it's old. on the good side, it's girl. So, you know, it's not like, would you rather be old girl or a new woman?
Or old woman.
Or new lady.
Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
New so, lady.
Okay. New lady.
Yeah. Old girl, old guy. Okay. So we see Davon talking about how she didn't talk with Kevin. Kevin, he's saying, like, look, maybe David is telling the truth. We get one more conversation. Taryn, you talked about this on the live feed update, that this was not a great conversation for Nicole.
No, I mean, you saw it on the episode that Nicole was just like, no, I mean, I voted, you know, the way I said. Yes. So, I mean, can we change the topic yet? Or
I feel like it seems so suspicious to say, if someone says, like, how, like, okay, how did you vote? Like, will you tell me again that how you voted? And then the person says, I voted the way that I told you I
but
voted.
In fairness, but that's exactly what David said.
The same thing.
No.
Yeah. That's literally what, because, like, normally I'd be like, that is so suspicious. Like, there's no way I believe that. But David said the same thing and he was telling the truth. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I see where Day's coming from, where, like, Nicole can't be a bad enough person to screw me over again. Like, who would actually do that? That would be a horrible thing. Horrible thing to do. No one would do that on national TV.
Nobody would be this terrible.
No, never.
Nobody would go through with something like this.
Never.
Nobody's capable of being so terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, hopefully, I think Day's figured that out by now, but the part that got me about that was, and we're seeing this again and again this season, but the person who's basically screwing someone else over ends up being the one who's the victim. Like, Nicole, I wasn't feeling bad for Nicole. I won't say that, but I think she wanted us to feel bad for her for doing this, which is a weird twist of logic there. Mm-hmm. But hey.
I hate lying.
I do have to say that, like, I did kind of feel bad for Nicole. I mean, I know I'm not supposed to. I get it, guys. But, like, I just feel like I can understand being put in a position where you, like, get too far into a lie or too far into a situation and you feel like you cannot backtrack and yet you feel bad about it. But, like, she just didn't know how to, like, go back. I don't know. I understand that. I get that, like, At the same time, I absolutely get when Davon's like, look, I said outside of game, like, just be honest with me. And especially if it's someone that you previously kind of screwed over, you know, you'd think at that point that you'd be like, okay, I need to just come clean here because I think this will be better in the long run. Because, like, I don't really see a situation where Davon votes for Nicole to win.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, against anybody, I think Davon votes for the other person. So, like, I feel like it's possible that Davon could have come around to Nicole if Nicole had, like, immediately gone to her and just been like, look, like, I had to do this. I messed up. Like, I'm sorry that I led you on, like, whatever. But she didn't. And it kind of just, like, it got out of control.
However, does she feel badly because she is hurting Davon? Or is it more that she... I feel so bad about this because I know that this looks really bad for me on the TV show and I really don't like that either.
That is definitely a part of it. I think it's part of it, but I don't know. I feel like Nicole and Davon are trying to, like, pass the hot potato back and forth of, like, who's to blame for Davon being really mean to David. And Davon's trying to put it off onto, like, hey, you better tell me the truth because I'm bashing David. And that's on you if you're lying to me, essentially. And Nicole's like, whoa, this isn't my responsibility. No. I have to lie. I'm just putting in this position and it's, you know, it's just bad overall.
I do think
Nicole thinks that she's doing the right thing in all these situations. I if she didn't really believe that, she is a great actress and it throws me off.
I hate lying.
Rob, I feel like you need to warn when you're doing this. Catches me off guard every time.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, go ahead. Like, go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to have Nicole interrupt you.
Oh, no, no. I just feel like I need to look over my shoulder a little bit. But I do really feel like she believes what she's saying. And I think that's the part that I understand what she's doing. I don't think that she, in terms of game, did the wrong thing by lying to Day. I would have felt like that was a really difficult situation. What do you do? And, you know, Nicole, she's doing the best that she can as far as she knows. But I just think that there's this other motivation that either she doesn't fully embrace or see, something to that effect. Because those, I don't know how she conjures up all the tears for all of this, but she's talented.
Yeah. I mean, Taryn, do you feel like this was the right move for Nicole to not have Ian stay in the house, not force the tie onto Danny, and then let Davon go through the whole week thinking that David was the vote, especially after David did not win the HOH this week?
I mean, basically, her other option was force the tie, force Danny to evict Ian herself, and then Danny's pissed off at her.
No, I understand. She probably couldn't do that. But at the point where David doesn't win HOH, can she have that conversation with Davon and be like, "Day, like I really wanted Ian to stay, but you know, I couldn't do it."
I mean, it's possible, but then Davon would be like, well, why? And how does she explain it? Oh, because I have an alliance. She can't rat her alliance out because they'll be pissed. She can say, oh, well, Danny was going to evict Ian anyway, but that's ratting Danny out again. And it's just doing the same thing that voting would have done.
But Day doesn't know that those are, she said it, Julie said, but how about all the alliances? And Day said, it's raining alliances in the house. They all have an alliance.
Yes, I mean, we don't know what the ultimate explanation was. It sounds like Nicole somehow tried to just take the entire blame on herself and just be like it was me. I wanted Ian gone for whatever reason. It had nothing to do with Danny because Davon still really trusted Danny after the reveal. So maybe Nicole had to act like I did this to make you a fool, Davon, because she didn't want to rat Danny out and get herself in trouble with Danny, who is still in the game. So I don't know exactly what she ultimately ended up saying, but it was definitely something that, you know, would have pissed Davon off even more because she can't tell the full truth.
I think that Nicole should have gone to Danny after Danny was like, no, like we have to make this move. I don't want to be the tiebreaker vote. Like you have to vote this way. I think she should have gone to Danny and been like, look, like I'll vote the way that you want me to vote so that you don't have to be the tiebreaker. But after the fact, the two of us together need to go to Davon and Kevin and David and explain that, like, we just couldn't make that move because Ian was a threat or too powerful, or like we were worried about a winner in the house or whatever they wanted to say. Like, I don't know what they wanted to say, but just like, I think that that would have been a better move because then the two of them could have gone to them, explained it. I mean, what are Davon and Kevin and David going to do? Like, the other people in the house aren't going to be angry that Nicole and Danny, like, allowed Ian to leave, that that's what they wanted. So what, they're going to go to them and say like, oh, these guys are bad guys. Like, no, that won't mean anything. And the three of them, they don't have any power. So like, it really doesn't matter. I mean, especially after, you know, like Rob said, after David or whoever didn't win the HOH, like it's like at that point, they should just come clean and be like, look, we couldn't do it this week. Like we could not make the move that you guys wanted, that we were going to make. It just didn't happen. I'm sorry. We would like to work with you guys moving forward. Like, and like just go from there. Otherwise it's just this like lie that just builds over like nothing.
And the danger is then Davon goes to Memphis like, hey, Nicole just told me the whole thing about what everything that was going on in the house, and Memphis is like, what, I'll put her up on the block then. That's it.
Which is exactly what they had planned to do to David, and they definitely would have done it to Nicole, and I do think they would have been ratted out in that instance, more so than they even were ultimately, sort of like they didn't play it well how they did it, but like looking at it from the top down, I can't really co-sign the idea of doing it that way personally, because I think it puts them in a worse spot.
And I get it. I understand it from the perspective of wanting to soften the blow and then also control the narrative. You know, you had a whole week that you could have potentially delivered this news, if it would have been the logical thing or not, but assuming that they did. And then, you know, you're able to interact with Day. You're able to interact with Kevin. You're able to jump in and kind of say, hey, this is like, We told you this a few days ago. So are you still mad? You're probably not as mad as you were when we told you. So, you know, that's something that I'd appreciate, but I don't know how it would have worked out this week.
What it all comes back to is that Danny never should have put Tyler on the block in the first place. She should have put Ian on the block in the first place. And then it would have been Ian versus Kevin or whatever, Ian versus David or whatever. And she would have been or even just put Day on the block at that point. Right. And then put Ian up as the replacement when Day wins. And then it's Ian versus Kevin. And then they can easily send Ian home there or Kevin home, and they're all fine. Like, that was the big mistake that they made. And everything they did afterward was trying to recover from it. But their games are just, Danny's in particular, it's never going to recover from that mistake.
But also, Day didn't have to use the veto. She could have not used the veto also. Taryn, we saw that Nicole and Danny gave their votes to evict Kevin tonight. Is that just to save face at this point?
I think so. I mean, Devon made a very big point about like her jury vote.
Yeah.
That like, look, the people that stuck to their word about this jury vote or about the vote, they're getting my jury management is very important. And I think that they felt it was very important to be like, see, we're 100% behind you, Day. we may have lied to you, but we were on your side the whole time. See, we voted for you. Please vote for us in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I just want to say that Devon's speech was amazing. I was totally impressed by it. I thought it was one of the best eviction speeches I've heard on the show in all the years I've watched. I thought she was so well spoken. Like, I feel like I would just flounder up there. I wouldn't be able to remember a word of what I was intending to say. And I felt like she was so composed, even when you could tell she was not happy and not thrilled with all the people in the house. I thought she did such a great job. She touched on so many different points as well. I feel like she covered jury management, she covered representation, she covered the history of Big Brother. Like, I just feel like it was so well done, and it blew me away.
Don't forget, Melissa, she talked about God also.
Thank you. I love my God. I love my child. I love Big Brother. Let's play this game.
I love God too. I love that you thanked God and made Cassandra Walden be resting in peace in God's arms.
Yes.
It was very
Waldron. Pardon me.
Oh my God. It's just so cringeworthy. I just feel like Julie could have just been like, great speech, Devon. Like, I feel like that would have been like a lot simpler. Or if anything, just been like, she could say like, I love God and I love Big Brother as well or whatever. Like, I just feel like instead it would just took to like this
or,
long.
Well said.
A simple well said would have sufficed.
Oh my gosh. And it was so beautiful. I want to jump in and say that, you know, I think one thing that's been so great about Day on the live shows is that every single time she's made the most of that moment. And I also give credit to Big Brother production in that they didn't cut her off, even though she was definitely going on for a while today. And so that was beautiful to see. And but
they did tell Kevin, all right, Kevin, we are his live show. So keep it quick, Kevin.
Kevin will have chances later on. But,
Kevin, this is your fourth.
Yeah, come on. Just fine, Kevin. Keep it tight.
That's enough.
Yeah.
We gave Day your time, and rightfully so. But it kept, you know, let's see what you do later on. Keep it short.
Okay. We'll come back to Julie talking with Devon when she comes out. We did get the segment finally, Taryn, of Memphis's wise guys plans.
Yes, we finally see this. I thought it was pretty well done. I mean, really, they edited it in a way that made it fun, but like they didn't even need, like they could have done it the actual timeline because it happened so fast. And I feel like they could have leaned into that more. Instead, this could have been just edited together like a certain way, but it really was just like that, like bam, 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 bam. I thought it was well explained. I was glad to like get the reactions from the players, like hearing from Memphis. He really does want to go to the end with Enzo. Why? It's hearing from Enzo. yeah, I'd go to the end with Memphis. Yes. Beat that guy. Hearing from Cody, like, oh, I like this. It brings Enzo in. This is perfect. Hearing from Christmas, like, you know, I'm still loyal to Tyler, but I'm going to need something if he goes home to back me up, to have another team to go to. So, like, good to hear that end of it. Like, I was happy to get all of these perspectives. I think it's rare in the episodes that I'm actually, like, learning things and confirming things via the diary room.
Yeah.
It was so funny how this segment was basically everybody thinking they were pulling over the wool over the other person's eyes. Like, it was like Memphis thinks that he's being super clever and being like, look, I think I can beat Enzo at a final two, so I'm gonna make a final two with him. And Enzo's like, that's great, I'm gonna make a final two with Memphis because I'm gonna beat him in a final two. And then, like, Christmas is like, this is great for me because I need another option. Like, and then Cody's like, this is great for me because these two guys don't know that I'm working with each of them. Like, it was just like, oh my God, it was really well done too, because it's like, it starts off with just like Memphis having this plan, and then it took you to realize that everybody thinks that they're outsmarting the other person, and it was great.
It's kind of like the brilliance of how Memphis pitched this is that he doesn't need people to be 100% in. He knew that. Like, he pitched it in a way where he's providing an option for people. It's the same thing he did with the committee, where at first the committee was a joke. Nicole was not a day two alliance. I'm beginning to realize that people lie when they say they had day two alliances, because this was not on day two. This was like day seven or something.
All the days blend together in their turn.
Thank you.
But it was initially a joke. Nobody was loyal to this thing, but because it was an option, it persisted, and now it is the dominant force in the entire season. And I think this wise guys thing is probably going to be pretty similar, where this is an option for everyone in the back of their minds, and it's what will keep these people safe with each other. And we might have an end game consisting of the wise guys being the most important thing we're talking about.
That was too easy, actually.
Too easy. It's too easy.
Yeah, but
one question I have, though, I'm just not too sure about the strategy of naming both of the alliances. And I don't know if it's like two different alliances, or if it's like a part A and a part B, or what you, or 1A, 1B, something like that. But I'm not sure I'm behind the strategy of naming the alliances the same thing. I just feel like that could blow up. Maybe there's a reason we haven't seen that before. But
I also loved how Christmas was like, the wise guys, but I'm not a guy.
It doesn't matter.
It's just a funny fact.
The reason she was upset about the name is because she already had a name in mind for the alliance. She wanted to call it Triple Threat, which is actually the name of the final three between Cody, Tyler, and Enzo.
Yes. But is it if there aren't the threes in the name?
That's true.
I wonder.
That's true.
It's a different name.
Technically be different.
Sounds the same.
And it's totally fine for Christmas to be an alliance called the wise guys, even if she's not a guy, because she's also not wise. So it's fine.
No, works.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah. Works either way. I did think that Christmas had a good moment in the episode when she pulled David aside to talk to him about pulling him in. And she's trying to say, like, look, David, I'm the only person. I believe you. And David is like, yes, yes. And she says something that this was a good moment.
So I want you to think about who Devon didn't call out.
She didn't call out Nicole, Danny, and...
Doesn't matter who else.
Yeah. He's like, she didn't call out Nicole, Danny. She's like, yeah, then that's it. Enough.
Cody fits the narrative. Stop right there.
Yeah, you got it. We don't need to talk about anybody else that she doesn't call out.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Christmas started the conversation with, I'm not here to entrap you. I'm not here to entrap you. Just don't work. And it seemed to work, actually. David was actually kind of more open and strategic than usual, which was surprising.
I was super curious to know, again, this is another situation where, like, when I watched this on the feeds, I was like, I'm desperate to know, how does David feel about this? Because he usually just nods and agrees, and then later is like, I don't trust Tyler. And so I was like, does he really buy into this? And we got a diary room, and he does. He appreciated that Christmas believed him, and he's really going after Danny and Nicole. And I was like, wow, like, that was good work by Christmas. Like,
yes.
I think that people forget And I think I talked about this in the preseason, that Christmas was a social force in the early part of Big Brother 19. She was the only person who talked to Josh early on. And even before Paul did, she was the one that picked Josh up. She knew how to talk to him. She knew how to bring him in, make him feel heard, make him feel appreciated when nobody else would. And she locked him in for the entire season. And David is kind of in a similar spot right now where he's kind of got nowhere to go. He's got a lot of potential suitors who are looking to pick him up. And of all the people in this house, of all the good players in this house, Christmas mm-hmm. is the one who seems to have succeeded.
Yeah, I thought she was really great in that segment. I thought that, you know, Christmas did a great job with David. I thought that she seemed like open and friendly and accepting and just like, hey, look, I believe you. And I feel like, you know, Taryn, you said this on the roundtable that like it's so important when someone just will finally say like, I believe you. Like if everybody's doubting you and everybody's saying that you're a liar, but really you're telling the truth, and the one person comes in being like, look, I believe you, I'm on your side. Like that means something. So I thought that she did excellent with David, and I was really impressed.
Matt, how great will it be when Christmas takes David to the final two?
Oh my gosh. Chris, and Chris, she's going to be so proud of herself too. It's going to be the best moment. I don't know. Who knows? I think David might take Christmas to the final two. I think he's going on a run. He's going on a run.
Yes.
I'm calling it here David. First.
Wow.
David's here it going is. Far. He's
yes.
going far. Put your stock on him. It's time. It's his year, finally.
Well, Here's my concern about David and Kevin and anybody else, like even Danny to a degree, people that, because Davon made such a point about like, hey, if you lied to me or if you screwed me over anyway, you're not getting my vote, which like, you're supposed to say the opposite on your way out the door. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to say, hey, if Tyler or Cody get to the end, they're getting my vote because they played you all, because that puts a big target on Tyler and Cody. Mm-hmm. And instead, she said, hey, if you lied to me, if you weren't straight up with me, you're not getting my vote. And I'm very concerned that is, and I know the typical response here is like, oh, well, the people were going to be targeting David anyway. But I really do think that a lot of people have been looking at David as like, oh, I wouldn't mind sitting next to David in the final two. And yeah. Something like what Day said about like not voting for people and you know, knowing that David is probably going to have some extra votes, it's just going to give them a little bit more pause about like, do I really want to be sitting next to David when I can be sitting next to somebody else who's in the same boat as me? Maybe not, David. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think that for Davon, I think she wants to stick it to the people in the house more than she's thinking about like David's long-term prospects to win the game.
You stick it to them by putting a target on their back. That's how you stick it to them.
Yeah, but that's a little more. That's strategy. More down the road. That's more down the road. This Long-term. Is instantaneous yeah. gratification. Stick it to everybody on the way out the door. Okay, so Davon does get voted out, and there's some weird stuff going on. I don't know if this is going to translate to the podcast. That they just cut Julie's mic at one point after Davon walked out of the house.
When we return, I will talk 101 with Davon.
they focused on the wrong audio.
Yeah.
They panned to Day instead of Julie.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened. I really thought someone's like, okay, Julie, you have to stop like ad-libbing here. This is enough.
Yeah. Okay. There was another moment from the conversation when Davon comes out of the house and Julie's asking her, how are you feeling? She says that she's really sick of those people and that she can't deal with all the fakeness. And the old Davon was coming out and Julie has is going to explain that to the audience.
And so when I did my veto speech, I think they realized, oh, snap, this is who we saw in season 17 and 18. She's back. We can't do nothing with that. So let's let her go.
From 4 and 5 years ago when exactly. you first played.
Yes, yes, exactly. When from Big Brother 17 and 18. Yes, it was 4 and 5 years ago.
Yes, yes. Rob, from 4 and 5 years ago when we podcasted about Big Brother 17 and 18. I'm so glad you're bringing this up from 4 and 5 years ago.
Yes, to be confused with some other season 17 and 18. Okay. Yes, yes, of course. From your previous times on the show.
What is Julie doing? Every single Thursday episode, I'm losing my mind. It's so awkward. Like,
it wasn't
why?
Like this, or was it? Is it just because there's no live audience that like we're really noticing
Look,
it?
That you
used to not have an audience.
Let me explain this, okay? We're just like, you know, we're all, you know, socially distanced. We come on, we do podcasts, and we talk to each other. But any of us, if we were going to go out and then have an interaction in person with someone, it's weird. If you were going to film me having a conversation with Matt in real life, it would be I'd be super awkward.
You probably just run over and grab and hug me because it's just it's.
Oh
like,
wait, hold on. Put my mask on. Oh wait,
masks on. You know, hand sanitizer, all of it. Just, I think Julie's really excited to see people. The one thing is that when Day walked out of the house after almost losing her wig, her great wig to Nicole Franzel, by the way, Julie made some comment about how she would hug Day, but she couldn't without taking her wig, which I think is like her way of saying, I love you. It's like the Day equivalent of her conversation with Janelle.
Well, she says she would give her a virtual, she's giving her a virtual hug.
Like over Zoom?
No longer virtual, that she was just virtual before. Now she's in person. You can't give a virtual hug in person. And she was like, I would do it better than Nicole, too. I would not take your wig. And Rob, I don't know if I buy the theory, because she's not great in person. She's also not great when she's conferencing them. It's both ways have been awkward, Rob.
I really think it's got to be the audience thing. I feel like it's always a lot smoother when she can like play off the audience's reactions or like smile at the audience or something or like, I don't know.
She used to nail it. She's for seasons, for many
seasons. Now she's used to audience. She's used to audience now. Now she can't go back to the old days when she was just by herself in a studio.
The thing that bothers me most about every single week when we see someone evicted, and we never talk about this, is how Julie pretends like she loves to hug people. Like, this is not a thing. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
But now that it's not a threat, that there actually is a
Did she used to hug
option,
people?
It's I wish I could, but can't.
Guys, I would hug all of you right now if I could.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm trapped in this screen. I can't do it. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Let's go back to last season and see how many times people got a hug on the way when they came out of the house.
I feel like they did.
They get hugged.
I feel like they did.
Okay. We'll see. Okay.
She does the selfies with them.
Rob, while we're on this topic, are we going to talk about the happy birthdays?
Well, that didn't happen yet, but we get with that. That's at the when they bring in the Dr. Will twist. But yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes. 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 Yes.
Happy birthday, Dominique.
Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves.
Julie's doing shout out.
She's like, they're like, no, 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 no. And she's like, yes, 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 yes. Uh-huh. And they're like, happy birthday. And she's like, no, no, no. Happy birthday, my kid.
And then she's like, no, I have nobody else. Nobody else.
That's it. No, 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 no. Come on. We got to move
yes,
on.
Yes, 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 yes.
Happy birthday, Dominique.
Happy birthday, Charlie Moonves.
We need to build this segment into the show. Like there needs to just be a shout out segment
thing, or
maybe they could have some of the birthday shout outs scrolling on the ticker at the bottom of the screen.
No, but this is interesting that not a lot of people say next week is my son Dominic's birthday, but I probably won't. Happy birthday, Dominic Sesternino. As opposed to
you got us, Rob. Yeah.
You got us.
I've never heard a retaliatory happy birthday wish in my
life. Over the top.
Yeah, happy birthday, Charlie. When was this a contest? What is going on?
No, you don't get a birthday shout out. If I get a birthday shout out and no one else.
Also, happy birthday to Jenny Autumn and Akiva Winokur this weekend. Also, Julie.
Okay. Is this the birthday shout-out yes. portion of the podcast?
Oh, man.
If you know anybody else with birthdays. Okay. although that was an interesting shout-out. And then I thought that Christmas had a interesting shout-out that she gave in this episode.
I respectfully vote to evict the fiery but classy Davon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Like big brother?
Love you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Not since Lisa Welchel have we heard that greeting, like, brother.
It's like, do people really call their sibling brother? Because I certainly do not just call my brother brother.
Yeah. I don't think anybody does that.
Like Arrested Development.
Okay. When Davon, she wraps things up. We talked about it at the top of the show. Julie would like to join Davon, but at 6 feet. The distance.
To God be the glory for second chances. I love this game. I love being black, and I just love everything right now. Give me a margarita. I'm ready to go.
Make that two. I'm joining her. Yes. From 6 feet away.
From 6 feet away. And then she's like, we'll have our socially distanced margaritas. It's like, you don't always have to say it. Like, we get it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say it every time. Maybe it's a legal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Tara, Julia. I do think more evidence that maybe Davon did know about the Nicole bombshell, because she did seem to recover pretty quickly.
Yes. And you could tell from the goodbye messages that she reacted much more to the fact that Danny and Nicole were both in the alliance than the fact that Nicole voted Ian out. Mm-hmm. That's what shocked her, because, you know, all week long she has also been saying that, you know, Danny and Nicole are on the outs. Kevin, you must protect them. They're the next to go. You got to get these guys out to learn that they're working tightly with that crew. Is definitely going to be a shock to her.
About
the vote, yes. About the Ian vote, yes.
Yes, okay. And then we got to everything with Dr. Will, and then Julie is going to close out the show with another hit from Sign Off.
From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Julie Chen Moonves. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Okay. Now
that can't even fit on a fortune cookie.
No.
I don't think that actually is a quote, is it? That's not famous.
Yeah, so somebody said on my Twitter earlier tonight, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it was sort of something along the lines of, you idiots, everything she said this season is a Bible verse.
Yes. I mean, I believe she has found God, or I don't know if she hadn't found him previously, but definitely there has been some sort of...
I mean, you know. Go back to the Davon response.
Thank you. Yes. I love my God. I love my child. I love Big Brother. Let's play this game.
I love God, too. I love that you think...
Yeah. So...
I don't recall Julie being this you know, pious in previous seasons. I believe this is a recent development. Yeah.
In fairness, and she's been through a lot.
Yes, exactly. So
it all adds up, really.
Like, to me, it's kind of like when you are like a teenager and you read like a cool philosophy book or something, and you like post quotes about it on Facebook. Like, that's Julie. She's like, she's just, you know, posting quotes, like cool quotes that she's reading on the episode at the end, that she's like, I found this cool quote. This is a good one. I'm going to read this one. You appreciate the earnestness, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I appreciate the effort. I mean, there's a lot going on. She should just really keep it simple. But I would love to see Julie come out with a line of mugs, because I would love to get a few of them with these quotes just for all of the great BB22 memories.
At least she does the quotes at the end. And by that point, I've usually turned the episode off. So whatever.
Yeah. And this was better than last week, where she said that she was like, remember, don't judge or you will be judged. I was like, hey, this one at least wasn't threatening.
At least she's not threatening us anymore.
Yeah, this one wasn't so menacing. Okay. All right. Let's talk about some questions. Let's hear what the listeners had to say about all of this. As feeds are down, right, Taryn? We are waiting to hear the HOH.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. People were in some fancy clothes. Did they get the opportunity to change clothes when we have a night like this?
Well, they're usually told what to wear depending on what kind of competition it's going to be. So I think we can expect that it's not probably not going to be athletic unless they have a lot of time still to change before the competition.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners. Zabu, should I renew my subscription for CBS Live feeds to watch Dr. Will, or is he only going to show up in the competitions? Matt, do you think we'll see any Dr. Will on the live feeds?
Yeah, no, he's not popping up. He's not going to be in the house. Dr. Will's comfortably at home in his hot tub with his robe not too far away, enjoying himself. I don't think we'll see him on the live feeds, but that would be interesting to see him pop up in the house with the mask on, socially distanced, of course. Mm-hmm. So we can only hope. You got to love Dr. Will.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think he comes down from his perch, but you don't think there's any chance, Taryn, that we see him like milling about over there?
I think there's zero chance we see Dr. Will in the feeds.
Yeah.
Personally.
Let me ask you another question from RainX in the chat, who's asking, can we talk about the Danny Cody spat at the end of the episode? Melissa, did you catch any of that, or had you turned your TV off yet?
No, I actually heard that, and I was confused. I don't know what they're talking about. Do you know, Taryn?
Yeah, so earlier in the day, yesterday, Danny was talking to Nicole about whether she should use her power on Memphis. Danny was reluctant, so her power would allow Memphis to compete in the HOH again. She was reluctant to do so because she was worried that it would give away the fact that she's aligned with Memphis, because she had already told Devon about the power, and if Devon has told Kevin, then Kevin will realize that Danny used the power on Memphis, and then if Kevin wins the HOH, he'll nominate her because he'll realize that she's working with Memphis. He'll get the memo that she's in the alliance. Mm-hmm. So she didn't really want to do it, but Nicole was saying you should do it because it gives us an extra number to compete against Kevin and David. And Nicole was very worried that Kevin is going to come after her because her secret was outed by the wall yeller. So this morning, Danny woke Cody up early in the morning because she needs, him to let her know what she should do. And he was a little bit grumpy. The feeds cut for most of this conversation, but I kind of gathered from the conversation that Cody was encouraging her to do the same thing, that she should use the power on Memphis, and that and she felt like again, the alliance was pressuring her to do something that was good for the alliance, not good for herself. And so I think he was like also like a little bit tired, and that's what he's apologizing for. Like, oh, you woke me up. I was a little bit grumpy. I'm sorry if I made you feel a certain kind of way. But then she went up to talk to Memphis, and they, I guess it's going to be in the next episode. So whether or not she chose to use it, we actually still don't know for sure. But that was what the argument was about, that they were sort of like, he was just kind of like, hey, I didn't mean to make you feel pressured. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Josh, who says, is there any chance they already taped one or two of the triple evictions yesterday when the feeds were down? Josh, let me hold on. Okay. Josh, don't worry about this. There's no chance they taped one of the triple evictions yesterday. That didn't happen. Okay. All right. Good question, though. Eileen, did the Alliance know how Danny and Nicole were going to vote? Yay, triple eviction. Melissa, was this an unexpected that it was a 5-2 vote?
I think they all knew that Danny was trying to convince people to vote for Devon. I think when that didn't work, I mean, I don't think it's a situation that people are going to be upset by this vote. I think they already knew that Danny and Nicole wanted to keep Devon. I mean, Taryn, you're making a face. Am I saying something off?
I don't think they're going to be like, I can't believe they did it. But I think they're going to be like, this is exactly what we were saying. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also a good reason. Like, they'll be able to use that as well.
Or is Nicole going to be like, oh my God, you guys, who are the two votes to evict Kevin? It must have been David.
David, again?
How could you do that?
Again, David?
Both of his votes.
How could you?
Yeah. It's definitely going to add fuel to the fire to target Danny and Nicole, that they are pandering for jury votes, that they were clearly aligned with Davon. I don't think it was the right call for them, because I don't think it's really going to win them any points with Day anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Totally. I think that ship has sailed.
All right. James says, is Julie ordering takeout before the show and reading a fortune cookie that is causing her bits to sound fortune cookie-ish? I mean, man, it's not really a fortune cookie, because she's not like giving a prediction.
No. And she's it's a little tough to figure out exactly. I'm on board with the Bible verse theory here.
She should start giving out lucky numbers like they do on the fortune cookies. You know, just like, and your lucky number for this Thursday is 3, 10, 24. Go.
So she did an Instagram story, I think, like a week or so back, where she was talking about a book that like her roommate from college gave her.
Somebody had tweeted it. Denise B. Gray's on Twitter. She's holding up the book. It's called Hope. Is the name of the book.
Hope for Each Day, Words of Wisdom and Faith.
Okay.
Come on.
This sounds to me like a book of platitudes that you might read at the end of an episode that you hosted.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to citations? Like, shouldn't she have to reference who the quotes are coming? That's the part that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
Because we learned there was a lot of that in school, and she should probably get an F or something for that.
Yes. And bad news for the author of this book, Hope for Each Day, when the Big Brother fans go to Amazon and leave 1-star reviews after they don't like how the next twist plays out.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So
all that book's fault.
Yeah. Okay. Katie Wallace says, why is everyone using Josh's strategy for goodbye messages? It seems it's a way for everyone to avoid telling the truth to each other.
I don't think they really need excuses for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the game. They lie to each other. I think it's good. I mean, Tyler especially seems to have been killing it in the goodbye messages these last couple of weeks between Ian and now Davon. You know, I think they've landed pretty well, and I think he's delivered them pretty well.
I feel like this is like what we always say is a good thing, is to like let them know what happened in the goodbye message, so that when they leave, they're not leaving like, okay, what's going on? And then asking the person who leaves next to fill them in, because that allows for, you know, misinterpretations of what's going on. So I think that you being the one to say, I was in an alliance, I'm so sorry I had to get you out, is fantastic.
Hypothetically, but Matt, in a post-Wall Yeller world, is it better not to have all these secrets in the house, which basically your game fate rests in the hands of who gets near the house with a megaphone, where is this maybe an outdated way to play the game, where you have all these secrets that if you play more of a game that's out in the open, you are immune and impervious to wall yelling?
Oh, Rob, that's like next level strategy there. But it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know what? The thing I think would be better for the game might be just the producers casting wall yellers. Mm-hmm. So
they'll put the wall yellers in the house.
Or like on the fence, because then at least we could see them, and then it's a little bit, you know, maybe, it's like literally a wall yeller.
Give Dr. Will binoculars so he could be kind of like the lookout up there, and like, okay, guys, we got one incoming. We got a bogey.
They really should, like the security that's out there should, first of all, disguise themselves as a wall yeller, so that when one comes by, they're like, nah, I already got this. This is my turf. And then if they do yell something, you can just yell the opposite and yell over them via your megaphone. That's going to be much more effective security than chasing people or whatever they do. I don't know. Maybe that's the strategy.
What if they move the house on the CBS lot, Taryn, and don't tell anybody, but and then the people will be yelling over the wrong wall.
I mean, they could do that. I think it would take a lot of work to move the entire house, though.
Okay, then for next year. Think about it. Okay. Let's take another question. Wait, we're stuck on Katie's question. I'm not sure if we got it. Okay. Yes. Sure. Alec Gross, how much does Dr. Will look like Jack Frost? Come on. Come on. Dr. Will looks amazing. Okay. Get out of here, Allie. Allie Cass. Coming for Dr. Will.
Here's the thing about Dr. Will's bathrobe is that Dr. Will has never been HOH. I think the bathrobe look just doesn't suit him. He's not meant for that kind of power. He's better off, you know, just in the suits or in other clothes.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Melissa, are you trying to get likes and show people your dog?
Yeah, she's right here.
Okay.
That's Riley. Riley, look at the camera. There she is.
Minutes of fame right there, Riley.
She was whining next to me, so I was like, what's going on here?
She wants to be on the podcast.
She's wall yelling. Dr. Will, chill.
Yeah, she's like, hey, that's Dr. Will. He's a Big Brother legend. You don't say that stuff.
Yeah, come on. Come on, everybody. All right. B-Tuck 2 says, was David's diary session for real? He had to have Christmas reveal to him that Nicole set him up to take the blame for the Tyler vote. That was the only option? How could he have not known? I don't think that he didn't know. He was happy somebody believed him.
Yeah, and she also revealed some things about Danny that helped open his eyes that, like, Danny was a part of this too. So she did give him some information. But, yeah, he definitely was aware that he knew that, obviously, he voted that way. So Nicole must have voted the other way.
Mm. Okay. Then we have from Lisa, do you really think that punishing hundreds of thousands of live feeders for a couple of wall yellers is justified? I guess, Taryn, do you think this was a punishment, or you feel like that there was they just do not want to address the wall yeller, and that's all they talked about for this time?
I mean, I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I mean, I think the main reason we're seeing so many wall yellers is because the first wall yeller was so, you know, praised by the internet community, by the live feeders, that it encouraged a lot of other people to follow suit. Hmm. And so they, you know,
are you blaming kind of Brent? To,
yes, I'm 100% blaming Brent. but they kind of have to, the more that the internet encourages wall yellers, the more wall yellers there will be. So the only way to get the internet to turn against wall yellers is to punish them for every wall yeller. It's one of those things where it's like, there's a kid in your class that's just like really unruly, and won't follow the rules, but you keep trying to punish that one kid and they just keep doing it. But then you're like, all right, fine. The entire class is going to have to suffer for you. And then everyone else turns to that kid like, come on. It's that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's like the principal in the Breakfast Club where it's like, all right, well, Yella, you just bought yourself 4 more hours of the live feeds being off. Now you got 6. Now you got 8. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
Melissa, how's it going with the dog?
It's going well. We put one of her toys up on the top shelf because it had ripped open. And so she's standing behind me, staring up at it, like barking and trying to get the toy down. I don't know. So I had to have Dennis come over and give her the toy. We dropped the toy down and she was like, okay, cool. I'm good now. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Just
practicing for when Dr. Will shows up.
That toy has been up there for like a month and she hasn't cared until right now. So yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right.
She's a star.
Faison, do the house guests deliberately throw the HOH comp if it's a double eviction is not announced and they want to be able to play HOH in the double triple? Is that a good game move? Should somebody be incentivized not only by prizes, but the fact that if they think it's a double eviction, that they want to play in the double?
Yes, generally. The double eviction is usually worth a bit more than a regular week eviction because you can make a move without getting your hands as dirty. As we talked about, it's a lot cleaner, less drama. Your game doesn't get blown up. So it's a much more powerful HOH to win. It also doesn't tend to raise your threat level as much because you're not upstairs in the HOH room all week. And on top of that, because it's so powerful, if you don't win, you are extra vulnerable with somebody else being there being able to take a big move and potentially take you out. So a double alone is worth throwing the HOH in preparation for a double eviction. If they know it's a triple, and if it's especially if it's a Big Brother Canada style triple, the outgoing HOH for a triple eviction is the absolute worst place to be in a season of Big Brother. It's a very, very bad spot. You actively would, like, I would actively take punishments to avoid being the HOH prior to a triple eviction. It's not a good place to be.
So that, let me get next level with you here, Taryn. Okay, ask you stuff that you never thought about. Okay, in terms of the double-double, do you want to throw the first HOH in the double-double?
No, I don't think so, because you never know, like, you could throw the first one, try to win the second one, but then you don't win the second one. So but you
isn't
want
the
least...
first HOH very vulnerable in the back half of the double-double?
Definitely vulnerable. But here's the thing. It's the sort of thing where, like, basically, if you win the first one and you know that there's another one coming up, you can talk to everyone and be like, look, I'm keeping you safe, but I'm going to need protection in the next part of this.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of time for somebody to, like, actively backstab you after having done that. So I think if anything, it's actually more beneficial to win the first of a double-double, whereas, you know, the reverse is true in the week lead up.
Okay. We're in uncharted territory. Sure. Could be an interesting week.
Yeah, and I wonder, I'm just starting to think about what is the strategy that you want to bring into a double eviction, well, this kind of double eviction. It's a lot of doubles. And, you know, I kind of wonder, because, like, is this a good time to pretend, like, oh, I threw up my shoulder, or, like, Memphis, oh, my back is killing me. And they're like, you know, something like that. You know, and I feel like this, there might be something that fools people enough that they don't have the time to process it and think about it. I don't know. I'm saying it might happen. This is me with my tinfoil hat on somewhere. But yeah, I'd be excited to see someone pull something, some magic out of the hat to stay in the house.
Okay. Out of the Danny. Judas hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question from Person Woman, Dan Giesling TV. I have been feeling like David's in a good spot to sneak by, but could he be an easy triple eviction casualty? We'll see.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that with something like this that you didn't plan for, you're going to fall back on what's easy. If your main option is, or like if they're planning to go for Danny in the double eviction, it's a double double. So they go for Danny, they take out Danny. Now there's another double eviction. They haven't planned for two double evictions. Well, I guess David's the easy thing, right? So, well, I guess we'll just do David now, because we haven't planned for what to do after. And so that's where he could be in some danger.
Okay. Let's take another question here. And this one is from Andrea, who says, what's up with Cody and Danny at the end? I guess we missed what happened during the outage.
Yes, this is what we were talking about earlier with the Memphis power.
Yeah. Let's revisit something we talked about earlier in the show tonight about how many hugs did Julie give before this? One of our listeners, Bradley Michael, says there were 4 hugs that Julie gave last year. Kat and Jess were initiated by the house guest. Here is Kat with a hug. Jess with a hug. This is Tommy came up and took one from her. And then here is a hug for Nicole. So 4 hugs last year.
So she initiated the hug with Nicole. It was mutual with Tommy. And then Kat and Jess initiated the hug with Julie. Only one unprompted initiated hug last season. Interesting. I'm curious to know now, did Julie tell Nicole Anthony this time that she wishes she could hug her?
I think she said she would have liked to. But that's it.
I think she thought Nicole Anthony needed it more than anything, rather than wanting to actually embrace her. But that's my read.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see if I have it from that night. I don't see it. Let me. That was. I think that night. That was the. You look like Busy Phillips. Was that same night? Okay. Let's take another question. This one is from. Yes.
Can I just say? Very insulting to Busy Phillips to say that Danny looks like Busy Phillips and then later in the season say, Danny, you look real old.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's a very good point, Taryn. Okay. Yeah. Let's take a question from Hardways. Does the triple eviction seem to you to pave the way for the jury buyback? I guess we'll see. We don't know.
Under normal circumstances, I would say, yeah, definitely. Right. But I think, like, because of COVID and everything, like, I really don't know if they're going to risk bringing people back in. It might be a lot more trouble than it's worth to, like, be testing and retesting and, like, you know, making sure everyone's very whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
This is from Anna. Can you reenact the pitch from Productions of Dr. Will asking him to live on a soundstage next door to the BB house?
Sure. What, like 15K? 20?
Ring, ring! Hello? Yeah.
Taryn, Production. Dr. Will, answer the phone.
Hello?
Wait, are you Will or am I Will? you be Will. I'll be Production.
Okay. You
okay,
called me.
Okay.
Will.
Okay.
Hey, I'm the director and action.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Hey, Will. What's going on? It's Big Brother.
Are you guys good again?
Yeah. Is it a good time for you?
No, but whatever.
Yeah. Hey, still wish you would have, shown up for this season. It's a good one.
Yeah, well, I wish you had given me $100,000 for it, but we can't always get what we want, can we?
Here's the deal. We've got a really cool idea that we're excited about. We think that you'd be great. You're the first person we thought of. It's called the Big Brother Neighbor.
Neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could be like up in the balcony coming in, you're drinking coffee in a bathrobe. It's really a hilarious thing.
A bathrobe?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm very partial to my suits here. I don't know if you're gonna be able to get me in a bathrobe.
What's your quote again? What's your rate?
Well, how much are you paying them to play?
$40,000.
$40,000? Yeah, like $50,000. That would be about 50, what I would
okay.
want.
All right, we'll get back to you. We'll call you back on this.
They're like, we'll pay you whatever you want, Will. We need you. We need a reason for people to tune in.
Will is definitely getting more money than a lot of the people in the season for this, right?
100%. I would love to see the inside of his house. His it seems like a condo setup because I'm getting like the balcony. Maybe he's in the penthouse. Yeah. It'd be really nice to see the setup because if he had to spend any time there, it's probably pretty fancy. Mm-hmm. You know, Will wouldn't settle. Dr. Will would not settle for anything less.
You wouldn't think so.
Man of great taste. Some okay. would say.
This is from Ben. Do you think the big, well-insulated players like Tyler, Cody, Enzo could potentially go home during the triple? Or do you think we'll likely just see a predictable David, Kevin, Danny eviction? Hard to say. We still have a whole eviction week to get through before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah. I guess anything is possible. We'll see.
The insulated people tend not to go home during the double evictions just because it requires too much planning to get them out. It's similar to where like Danny like accidentally put up Tyler and she didn't have the votes to send him home. You don't want to put yourself in that spot, so you go for the easier targets. The doubles only take out the bigger targets if you've already planned for it to happen. So you've already put in the groundwork, and nobody has put in the groundwork to take out Cody or Enzo at this point.
Yeah. Let's take another question, and it is from Stacked, who says, now that there are prizes or power-up for grabs, how fast will it take for the whole alliance to implode? Matt, do you think that we'll have a whole alliance implosion this week?
I'm not hopeful.
What does the prize need to be for an implosion?
Maybe, who knows, $40,000?
No, 40,000 followers.
Ooh.
If that was a prize, oh my God, they go for it.
A brand new sponsor.
And you would see just chaos.
I can't believe that Cody took that. That prize was for me.
How about this one? How about this one? One of the prizes, an invite to Nicole's wedding.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
How about this? A good one. A vegan feast.
Ooh.
There are some great prizes that you could ultimately win. We'll see. All right. Melissa, anything else from tonight?
No, I think we covered it. I mean, honestly, overall, I thought it was a really good episode. I was excited by it. I feel like there was ups and downs and whatever. The only thing I would say is that I would have liked to see a new HOHB crowd, and I feel like that would have been like the cherry on top. But that didn't happen, unfortunately. But, you know, otherwise, I thought it was a good episode.
Okay. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about Day, one thing that I saw just leading up to the episode was just Day and this dynamic where she feels disappointed in her performance.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Day is definitely a winner in my book. She's done an incredible job representing a lot of different groups, not just the ones that she's part of. And I think it's a huge win to have Day there and representing and talking about things that we would never imagine on Big Brother, between justice for Breonna Taylor and so on. And so she's done so much. And she, I think when she comes out of the house, she'll actually see that Big Brother producers gave her a lot of time to be seen talking about those things. And so I'm happy for Day. I feel good about her. And I'm glad. I feel like everyone's giving her flowers now, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah, Matt, you make a great point. Things didn't always go great for Davon this season. There were a lot of things that did not go her way. She didn't always or too many times like have her finger on the pulse of what was going on in the house. But she comes out more beloved than she's ever been in her Big Brother career, and who's perhaps America's favorite player?
That would be pretty amazing. I mean, I there's some time still. I don't know who else would be America's favorite player.
I feel like she's one of the few people this season who's coming out in a more loved, like, better position than when she went in versus a lot of the others. So
okay.
Overall good. Obviously, like, we wish she could have gone further. You know, she wanted to win, and we know that. But, like, you know, all in all, like, it's better to come out in a better position than to be in a worse off position.
Sure. And Taryn, anything else from your perspective tonight?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is going on here on RobHasAWebsite.com. All right. 90 Day Fiancé. Of course, Puya is back to talk about everything that's going on Happily Ever After over on 90 Day Fiancé on our Rehapups feed. Check that out. And then Josh and Jessica and Brooklyn Zed wrap up season one with the Mole Patrol with season one feedback. Check out the final episode of our season one coverage of The Mole over on our Rehapups feed. And The Masked Singer was back this week. Do any of you watch Masked Singer?
No.
No, but I always read the results. I always see who was behind the mask of each, but I don't watch.
Okay. The dynamic duo of Puya and Liana are back to cover another season of Masked Singer. Episode one was Wednesday night. Their first recap of the premiere is up in our Rehapups feed. Be sure to check that out. And then, I got to get into the questions for Davon, and we'll hear what she had to say in our exit interview. Again, that is not live with Davon, but we will get recorded answers from Davon for a series of questions. Then we'll put that out as a podcast. But tomorrow morning, it's Puya Friday. Get ready when Taryn and Puya break down everything that goes on overnight. There will be a new HOH, we presume. Find out who's in trouble, who got what prizes. There'll be a lot to talk about for sure tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern with Taryn.
Puya's on everything.
Yeah.
Yes. look, that I mean, he'll never be able to top last weekend when he was on 4 days in a row and became the nipple king.
Wow.
King of nipples.
But he'll try to get that. He'll try to get it all started this weekend as well. On Saturday night, it's going to be the BB22 roundtable with Taryn and Chantel and Jason Reed to go over the Legacy Watch. Taryn, will you get a Legacy rating on the Zingbot?
I don't know. What is the Zingbot's legacy?
I think it started off very strong. It's really diminishing return, circling the drain.
Definitely.
For the Zingbot.
Yeah, we're going.
Yes. You know. Will Dr. Will's legacy be affected this week, Taryn?
You know what? Maybe we should put Dr. Will on the board here.
Okay. Tune in Saturday night to see what happens. Okay. And then we will be back on Sunday night, where Taryn and I will be back with Amon and Asia on Sunday night to recap the episode. Think that it'll be the final Sunday of the Big Brother season. And because of CBS football, look for a delayed start time for our Sunday night Big Brother recap. Probably last week it was 9:50 when we got to kick off our coverage last week. So just be sure to keep an eye on Twitter to find out when CBS is going to air 60 Minutes and then ultimately Big Brother. Robswebsite.com/patron. We got it all kicked off tonight earlier with our Big Brother pregame show that we do on Thursday nights at 7. Check out everything we have going on in our Rob is a Podcast patron community. And let me remind you, at the end of the month, Better Play is to go for the annual membership, because if you go month to month, it's September and October is right around the corner. Better way to go is pay for 11 months, get the 12th month free. robswebsite.com/patron. All right. Of course, you could follow us on social media. Check out lots of clips from all the podcasts. Rob has a podcast on Twitter and RHAP Grams over on Instagram. Oh, yes. And then I want to also get the word out here. Try to use this platform for something productive. Vote.gov. Rob has a planet. This is an international audience, but I want to speak directly to our American listeners right now. A lot of people don't know. There's an election coming up in about 40 days out from now. Some people don't even realize that, that people are so focused on Big Brother, not even focused on what's going on in the United States of America. But you're an American. You've got a duty to vote, not just for America's choice. How can we be trusted to vote for America's choice, America's favorite player, if we don't vote in our elections? So head on over to vote.gov. Find out if you're registered. There's still time to go. I had to figure out the other day. I said, wait, hold on a second. Okay, I know I'm registered, but what am I doing? All right, just figure out your plan ahead of time. You're an American citizen. You have a duty to vote. Vote.gov, nonpartisan website. Go ahead. Make sure you're registered to vote in our upcoming 2020 election. All right, there you go. Let's check out what else is going on for you, Melissa.
Hopefully I'll be able to release the next Drunk History episode soon.
Oh, it's coming that quick.
Well, I already filmed it, so yes. I just need to put it together. And it's really just me like looking at the footage and being like, I don't want to look at this. So, you know, that's really what's hindering me. But I already have one filmed. It's a spoiler alert, Dan's funeral.
Whoa.
So we shall see how that goes, but that should hopefully be coming out soon.
Okay. What Big Brother 22 moment is most likely to get a future Drunk History reenactment?
I don't know. I feel like there hasn't been one yet. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions? Well,
they've all been off the feet.
Yes, yeah. The wall yeller. Yes.
Maybe I'm provoked. I guess personal game information is pretty much the only one we saw.
Yeah, that's probably... Probably the one. That'll probably be the one. But, you know, that comes way later, though. You know, you can't do it while it's happening. It's not history.
Okay. A little too soon.
It's too soon.
Okay. All right.
And hopefully I'm going to be hopefully on Puya's podcast about 90 Day Fiancé. I've been diligently. Well, no, I'm not. No breaking news. I haven't scheduled, but you know, I've been diligently trying to catch up so that way I could be on it.
You're shamelessly asking to be on a 90 Day Fiance.
Begging.
Wrap up.
You know, no, like, he knows I've been trying to catch up. So
Clea,
you know,
let Melissa come on 90 Day Fiance.
Clea, just let me come on the podcast, please.
Okay. We know that this works with Puya. We got him to take the Nipple King nickname on a podcast. So it was, as long as you ask him to do something on the podcast,
okay, good to know. Good to know. Okay. So, you know, hopefully that's happening.
Matt, how about you? What else do you have going on?
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot happening. If anyone follows me on, is going to follow me on Twitter, Matt Scott GW, which could GW could stand for anything you want. Great wig, I think, is this week's abbreviation. Mm-hmm. But if you follow me there, you'll see something about NASA's Space Apps Challenge. It's a whole thing. It has nothing to do with reality TV. But if
what
you
is
like
the NASA Space Apps Challenge?
Let me tell you, Rob. Thanks for asking. It is a global hackathon. It's virtual. It's online. It's a chance for people to create cool things and feel like they're making a difference in the world, which... I mean, I feel like I'm making my difference by being on this podcast.
Yes,
but
and it's you've made a great difference, Matt.
Ugh, Rob.
It wouldn't have been the same here tonight without you.
I'm fighting back tears.
Yes. Okay. All right. I would give you a socially distanced margarita if I could right now.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. All right. And Taryn, we know you'll be live tomorrow morning. Will there be more Taryn live streaming tonight?
You know what, Rob? I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. The time was finally right. But you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I may stream tonight. Depends on the HOH outcome. If we got something fun, then maybe I'll hop on. Make sure you go to twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong.
What if we don't? Will you just come on and be like, nope, not today, Satan?
Yeah. Just like, Memphis won again? Great. See you guys. Back to sleep. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find me there for all the things you need.
Just come on the stream and be like,
that was too easy, actually.
Too easy.
That was too easy, actually.
All right.
Actually.
There you go. All right. Great job, everybody. Fun show tonight. We'll be back on Sunday again with another panel to talk about the Sunday night episode of Big Brother. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.